his disciples have not fully grasped, have not fully become aware of the whole situation. So we see two of them who are apparently heading home from Jerusalem down to Emmaus. Verse 13 then of Luke in chapter 24. Let's read the word of the Lord. Now the same day two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true. The Lord has risen, has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And that's the word of the Lord for us this morning. It was October the 30th, 2012. And I recently saw the highlights of it. And it was a football match. And 36 minutes had gone. And Arsenal were losing 4-0. 36 minutes gone. And Arsenal were losing 4-0. And I noticed in the highlights, at that point, one or two of the supporters had had enough. They hadn't come for this. 4-0, they were losing to Reading. And they left. Desolate. 4-0 after 36 minutes. "We're leaving. It wasn't meant to be like this." Well, I take it that is a feeling that we somewhat have brought before us concerning these two on the road to Emmaus. Football match, perhaps of no great significance. Very likely it's of more significance than it should be for many people. But here is something of great significance in the lives of these two who'd been up at Jerusalem and were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now he's died and they don't know what has happened and they're desolate. They
thought so much was going to come as a result of Jesus. But it hasn't happened. He's dead.
And so they're walking away, like those football supporters were walking away. That's enough. They were walking away. Going home, it appears. And we're going to think this morning how the Lord met these two and dealt with them. Remember, we've been in a series, and this is the last one for the time being, of how the Lord dealt with people. Think about what it is to be Christ-like. So we learn ourselves what it is to be Christ-like in dealing with people. And as we have already thought, with coming to these two this morning, in the context of the Lord having risen, but they've not grasped it. It's not a living reality in their own lives. They are confused about the whole situation. Those 12 verses we started to see unveiled to us in Luke's Gospel about the Lord being alive from the dead. And the people, those were his followers, are sort of finding out and trying to work it all out. And we see it was what we quoted right at the beginning this morning, those monumental statements, the end of verse 5 into verse 6, as those angels spoke to those women. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. His resurrection is declared in line with what he had said, as we read in verse 7. So the Lord is alive. And consider then how the risen Lord dealt with these two disciples. We're going to see how they moved, going to our sheets, if you're following in the sheets, how they moved from desolation to transformation, from desolation to transformation. So our first heading, I purposely haven't filled in the headings this morning, as they're on the sheet of paper, as we're going to discover how the Lord unfolded his purpose and dealt with these two disciples. First heading this morning is desolation. Desolation. These two headed off for Emmaus. Talking together in verse 14, come to the passage, just 7 miles down away from Jerusalem. They were heading off and they were talking together about all that had happened, all that they'd experienced, all that they were aware of. And they were concerned about the whole situation. At that point, we see that the Lord Jesus came alongside them. See verse 15, that Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Isn't this monumental? The Lord has risen. It says at the beginning, in the first verse, verse 13, now that same day. This is resurrection day. This is Jesus who's alive, having conquered death. This is monumental. These are the biggest events that this planet has ever known, that this universe has ever known. And the one who is at the center of it is there. And what's he doing? He's going to two disconsolate, desolate disciples and just going to talk with them. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. Shows his interest in his disciples. He's interested in us today. Yeah. If you feel the Lord's not interested, just take heed to that. Could have just been enjoying, dare we say, the myriads of angels just worshipping him. But he's there going on the road to Emmaus with these two disciples. May I, just reminds us as well, as we want to deal with people, think about ourselves. Will we put ourselves out to spend some time with people? My auntie said many years ago, and the words of all have remained with the, that most people are too busy to be kind. Most people are too busy to be kind. Makes us think, doesn't it? The Lord could quite easily have been too busy to be kind on that day. But no, he was going to help these two disciples through this situation. So they didn't recognize him. How that happened that they didn't recognize him? Well, it's not explained. But they are there. Jesus is there. They knew Jesus, but at this moment, they did not recognize him. They were unable to grasp that he was the one who was there. So verse 17, we see how the Lord asked them questions. He says to them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? some reminders in dealing with people. It's good to ask questions. You know, how are you feeling? What's going on? Take an interest. Questions generally demonstrate interest. I'm interested in you. So I want to find out about you. So ask questions. The Lord asks questions. He's interested in them. He's concerned for them. And they're downcast. They're downcast. Why are they so downcast? Well, verse 21, a bit further on, shows you why they were so downcast. It says, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. We'd hoped that these Roman occupiers who were oppressing us, we thought a new age was coming and all of our enemies were going to be taken away and we were going to enjoy peace on this earth. And we thought he was the one. And it's not happened. And we're confused. And they were downcast. All their hopes had faded away. They don't understand it all. All their hopes had come to an end. If you go back to the football match I mentioned earlier, that's the sense in which it would happen to those supporters. All their hopes had come to an end. 4-0 down after 36 minutes. It's all over. They'd gone hoping for a victory, but that was it. And so they left. That's a bit like these disciples, as I say. They're just confused now. They've gone off, going back home to Emmaus. And in many ways, that's true of life, isn't it? For many of us, we'd hoped for so much. Many of us, perhaps a bit older in years, hope for so much. And life's not delivered. Feeling desolate, feeling all the promises that were offered. Even Black Friday offers you so many things, doesn't it? You get our goods and you'll be all happy and deliver so little in the end. And so we see they were desolate, downcast, their hopes didn't seem to have them anymore. Second point then is information. Second point is information. Desolation, the first point. Second point is information. In order for them to make progress, in order for us to make progress from our desolation, we need certain information. The Lord gets them to talk about their situation. We're moving now from verses 17 through to 24. Rather, verses 19 through to 24. Verses 19 through to 24. And the Lord asked them, what things? What things had happened? What's all the things that have gone on in Jerusalem? And he gets them to talk. Gets them to talk and he listens. It's a point to notice when we're dealing with people. Is simply to listen very often. To just shut our mouths and listen. And we can bring so much benefit to people by allowing them to talk very often. When people talk, they solve their own problems because they talk it out. And the Lord allows them to talk here. He asks them to question, what things? And they start talking in the second part of verse 19. Now, as we hear them talking, we see that they relate all the details about what has happened concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see in verse 19, it was about Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And they say it, he was a prophet. He's powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. So they know who Jesus Christ is. We're seeing in these verses, they got all the relevant information. The facts are there before them. And we see then how he had died. The chief priests had got involved and the rulers have handed him over to death. And in verse 20 now, he'd been sentenced to death and they crucified him. That vile death. That awful death. And they'd been thinking, verse 21, we thought he was going to deliver. It's not happened. He's died, though. And then we see later, as we move to verse 22, latter part of verse 21. It's the third day since all this took place. And people have started talking
The women had gone to the tomb early. They didn't find his body. And they'd seen a vision who said it was alive. Verse 23 here. And then some others, our companions, went to the tomb. They found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. So he's the one, this special one, mighty before God. That's who he is. And he died. And there was all these testimonies coming forth that he was risen. All the information is there that they needed. All the information is in their grasp that would be necessary for them to make progress. But it's just information at the present time. It's just facts. It's not something that's living in the reality of their lives. It's just accumulated facts about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it has to be brought into the living reality of their experience. And that is what we are going to see as things move on. You see, the facts are vital, but they are not enough. The facts are vital, but they are not enough for us to be transformed from our desolation into being new living creatures moving on for God. And we need to tell the facts. Yeah, the historical facts. Christianity is based on historical facts about Jesus of Nazareth, who he is, what he has done. One who died and is alive. So point number three then is explanation. Explanation. The facts need to be explained. The facts at that present time were just all confused and jumbled up for these two. So they need an explanation. So we go to verses 25 to 27. They need it all to be explained to them. So the Lord says to them in verse 25, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Now he's not calling them fools in the sense of idiots here. You know, that might be what we might think. He's not calling them idiots here. He's just saying your mind is not operating properly and your heart is not operating properly. You know, we might get a machine sometimes and it's just not functioning properly. So it's just not operating so as to do what it should do. Our cars might be like that sometimes, might they? And they break down or they're just not operating properly one day and we have to try and get it all fixed. Well, that's something here with regard to their minds and their hearts. Their minds are not functioning properly to properly sort it all out. And they're not functioning properly because they're not really functioning in line with the Word of God. And their hearts are not operating to fully grasp what it all means. They're just dysfunctional. And the Lord is going to seek to sort them out and get them properly operating. And so he explains. Here's the explanation. Okay, so we're moving from their desolation. They got the information, and now here's the explanation. And here is the greatest explanation of scriptural truth that this world has ever known, dare I say, carefully. The best Bible study that there's ever been. And we all wish we were there. And we just have a summary of what happened. As the Lord's just with those two disciples. Do you think sometimes I've only got two at the Bible study? Think, well, it's not many, is it? I wish there was more. The Lord just had two here, and he gave the most epic Bible study ever. Just two, but vital. Okay, so what does he say to them? This is the heart of the message. This is the heart of understanding everything. You were thinking, your mind was thinking that there was just going to be a mighty triumph and deliverance. However, this is the proper order of things, verse 26. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? So they've got the things. The information is there, as we thought, in verses 19 to 24. And now he's sorting it out. This is what the Christ had to do. He had to suffer first and then enter his glory. That is a full understanding of the Old Testament. That the Promised One is not just the glorious triumphant one. He is the glorious triumphant one because he is the first, the suffering one who suffers for the sins of his people and dies so that the sins of his people could be dealt with.
So the suffering must come first. That's the heart of the message. Don't ever lose that. The Lord Jesus is speaking about the Old Testament here. That is the key message of the Old Testament. Understand that. It's exciting to study the Bible, but it's important to having the keys to understanding the Bible. Remember, this is God's fundamental focus in his scripture. Now, verse 27. Here is what he did then. He, as it were, made his main point in verse 26 and then says, well, here's how it all fits together. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets. Essentially, the first five books of the Bible, Moses and the prophets, the rest of the Old Testament, he went through and he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. You see, it's the explanation. He's explaining to them. He's getting the facts in a proper order so that they really do understand where it all fits together. And so he explains the whole of the Old Testament. Don't forget, when you're studying the Old Testament, it's about Jesus Christ. Your fundamental issue is realizing that all those things that are in the Old Testament focus upon the promises concerning Jesus, pictures of what he was going to do, indications of how he was going to come, and how he is yet to do great work. It's all the focus is upon Jesus Christ. So he goes through the whole of scriptures and explains the things concerning himself. What beautiful times those must have been. We realize, say later, that their heart was burning as these things were related to them. What a Bible study. What a day. Let's think about some things then as we think about the explanation. First of all, the explanation is from the scriptures. The facts must be explained from the scriptures. A true understanding of those facts only comes when we go to the scriptures. We relentlessly in this church want to be explaining the scriptures. And you must be in a church which explains the scriptures. It's necessary. It's important. Explaining the scriptures. So we understand the facts when they're explained from the scriptures. When we're dealing with people, we must be aware of this, that in all of their needs and all of their perplexities, the journey that we are on in dealing with them is to lead them to the Christ in the scriptures. Okay, so the Lord had listened to them. This is, we might say, the general outline of all counseling ministry, dare I say it, if we're involved in ministry, and we all should be involved in counseling one another, is to find out where people are at, to listen to them, and then to lead them to Christ in the scriptures. So we have the explanation here. But dare I say it, the explanation is not enough. The facts are essential and the explanation is essential, but they're not enough. You know, sometimes we can feel, well, that's it. We've conveyed the teaching. You might say you hear the greatest teacher on the internet on a subject and you realize somebody's struggling with an issue and you think, well, if they get to hear this, then they'll be convinced. That'll be it. That's the explanation that sorts it out. Or you might say, oh, you know, where somebody's speaking and you hear they're speaking, you think, oh, that person, they've got to go and they've got to hear that person preach because they're going to give the greatest explanation of the gospel message. Yeah. Well, information and explanation are vital, absolutely essential, but they are not enough. The facts and the explaining of the facts are vital, essential, but they are not enough. So that will move us on to our fourth point, which is Revelation, verses 28 to 32. Revelation in verses 28 to 32. So we see in verse 28, they were obviously attracted to this man who they didn't know who he was yet. And so they said to him, come and stay. you know, come and stay with us. He was going to go on, but they say in verse 29, they urged him strongly, stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day's over. Almost over. And so, end of verse 29, we see that he came to stay with them. It's the end of the day. And then we see these remarkable happening. Let's come in to verse 30. Here is the revelation. Jesus is revealed to them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Verse 31, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. What happened here? Something happens here that they suddenly recognize him. He is suddenly revealed to them. What happens? I take it there's something significant that he takes the bread, because he's not naturally the host here, is it? Because the others seem to have invited him to their home in Emmaus. But something happens where he moves forward and shows that he's the Lord of all this. And he is the one who takes the bread. You need the host, I take it, would normally take the bread. But he is the one who sets him there as the host. And what happened here? Why did they suddenly realize it was him? Perhaps some have suggested it was the feeding of the 5,000 from Luke and chapter 9 that they were reminded of. And we remember in Luke chapter 9 how it says that he taking the loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke them and gave them to his disciples. Whether they remembered that? I take it it's not the Lord's Supper, because these two would not have been at the Lord's Supper. So I take it it wasn't that. Or was it this? Or was it this? But suddenly, now I suggest this to you, it's not clear, but I just wonder, they see him and he's the one who takes the host, and they suddenly see his hands. I just wonder if they suddenly saw his hands and they saw those nail prints and they suddenly realized. The one who had died is alive. He's there before them. They saw him. And their eyes were opened. As we read there in verse 31. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Here is the revelation, you see. He's revealed to them. He comes right into their situation. They see him revealed to them. They connected it back to the explanation, because they say concerning the explanation there in verse 32, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures? They said, we thought there was something special happening. There was something wonderful happening when he was unfolding the scriptures to us. But we didn't fully fit it all together. But now we see him. And that's enough. And he's gone. Why did he go? These questions come up. Is it just simply they'd recognized him and the message is that's enough? To see him is enough. To be aware of who he is enough. You see, the facts are essential. The information is essential. The explanation of the facts is essential. But they're not sufficient until the revelation. You see, we could preach endlessly. We could explain. We could convince. And we have to. Brothers and sisters, we have to, and pray for those who are doing it publicly. And as you have opportunity, you bring the facts concerning the truth of the word. You explain it to people, but we can do it endlessly at length and nothing will happen unless the Lord comes. Unless the Lord is revealed. Unless he is shown to be who he is. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul says this concerning his own experience, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me. God revealed, you know, Paul, who all those facts that he was working through his mind concerning Jesus had met resistance and hostility, and now it had all come together. Everything had been sorted out and Jesus has been revealed and everything is now different. So what does this mean? What does this mean? We need to be aware that it is the revealing of Jesus Christ that changes the situation. Yeah? So we'll be a praying people, won't we? Yeah. You see, we can inform and we can explain, but we cannot reveal. Let me say that again. We can inform, we can explain, but we cannot reveal. Only God can reveal. And we therefore pray. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, well, no, Jesus Christ has never been revealed to me, you just pray. Please reveal yourself, Lord Jesus. Please reveal yourself. Need to have the Lord Jesus revealed. Now, the order is important here as well. Information follows explanation, follows revelation. What if revelation followed information? What if revelation followed information? Okay? What if revelation? And suddenly it goes something like this. You say, Jesus turns up on, let me put it carefully, I want to put it properly to you, but say on a Sunday you have an experience of the Lord Jesus into your situation and you see him and you just see him physically into your situation. Yeah? And then you go into work on Monday and you say to somebody, well, I saw Jesus yesterday in church. And they say to you, come on, I saw Santa Claus at work yesterday as well. What are you talking about? And you carry on the rest of the week and your mate at work says to you, what about seeing Jesus last week? You seen him much this week as well? And you start thinking, what? Did I really see Jesus? Was it really him? And it all fades away, you see. But when revelation comes on top of explanation, it's not fading away. Why is it not fading away? Because it's there. It's in that book. You can always go back to it and say, that's where it is. The revealing of Jesus into my soul, the living reality of the living Lord Jesus Christ, has come on the basis of Scripture, not on the basis of some subjective experience. So, the transformation comes. The final point. Information. They started with desolation. They got the information and they got the explanation. And now they've had the revelation. And now they have the transformation. Verse 33. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Now it's important, I think, to know they didn't get up at the end of verse 27 and return to Jerusalem, because it seems evident from verse 28 they'd already got to Emmaus. It was only upon the revelation. It was not after the explanation that they got up and their lives were different and their lives were transformed. It was only when after the explanation had followed into the revelation of Christ himself, then they were transformed. And so they go. Verse 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Now, come on, guys, what are you doing? It's late at night. It's dangerous. Why don't you just get some sleep? Sleep on it and then process it in the morning. And they say, not likely. Not likely. We're going. Risk or no risk, we're going back. We're going to them in Jerusalem. This is so exciting. This is so monumental. This is so immense that we want to go and share with them. And so up they go. Verse 33. Off they go. Probably it might have taken them 2-3 hours on the way down, walking down. How long do you think getting back? Any suggestions? 30 minutes perhaps. I take it they went for it. They were passionate. They'd been changed. And so they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, well, they don't even say, they can't get their story out first. The ones there get the, and you can imagine various things here that they were pounding with their breath, and the others suddenly say, it's true.
It really is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told them, and what happened to them on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. You see, it was the breaking the bread which was the key thing that transformed the whole situation. The information, the explanation, the revelation led to the transformation. And they're back at Jerusalem and they're all sharing together, knowing the reality of what had happened to Jesus Christ. Well, you know what happened in that football match on October the 30th, 2012, don't you? Arsenal got one goal back by half time. It was 4-4 at full time, and Arsenal won in extra time. And I wonder if those who'd gone off when it was 4-0 after 36 minutes, I wonder whether they ever came back to see the end, to see the triumph. Well, these two went back, didn't they? They went back full of the triumph, rejoicing, delighted. This was everything to them. It had all been explained to them, and now they went back, enjoying it, sharing it. This is too good to keep to ourselves. We want to go and share with others. Now, brothers and sisters, let us think a little bit about these things for ourselves, isn't it? You know, this is all too good to keep to ourselves, you know. That Jesus has come, the only Saviour of the world. We know that again. Let's go through it again. No other religion has got a Saviour. Every other religious leader is dead. Our leader is alive. He's conquered death. There's nothing like this, brothers and sisters. Youngest one here. If you're knowing Jesus Christ, this is the most exciting stuff. The oldest one here. This is the biggest and best message. And they go and share it. Well, they share it amongst themselves, first of all, isn't it? It's interesting that, sharing it amongst themselves. I really feel that's something we should think about after services, when we meet up with one another. Are we knowing this living reality and sharing it together, that the Lord is risen and we know how we're experiencing him? And it's interesting then to think through that when we are enjoying this living reality of the living Lord Jesus Christ, that the rest of the New Testament, dare we say it, flows on from verse 35. It's an excited people wanting to tell others about this glorious message of a risen Lord Jesus Christ. So it's that experience together, sharing together, that stirs us up to be able to go out, which is something for us to think about as we think about our own situation. So they're transformed. So what happened? The desolated people, they went from desolation to transformation. But the journey is crucial. They needed the information and they needed the explanation. Absolutely essential. But then it was the revelation that clinched it all and turned it all around, you know. So we come to conclusion. I just want to observe, for many of us, we think that information and explanation is enough. That can be a problem for us in the West, perhaps particularly. We think if they got the information and they got the explanation, that'll be enough. Everything will be sorted. No. There's got to be the revelation of Jesus. Yeah? There's got to be the awareness of the living reality. And so, as we thought, we pray. Thought earlier as well concerning this situation, just want to mention it again. Some of us are from a background where information is enough, and revelation just coming into, just revelation into information is all that we are wanting. No, you need the explanation. Because if you've not got the explanation, you can fall for all kind of fakes and traps and tricks. Because how do you know that the revelation is a true revelation if you haven't got the explanation? You only know that the revelation is a true revelation when you've got the explanation from Scripture. Otherwise, you can be cast out under all kinds of whims and fancies, which will take you down big, no-through roads for your soul and for others. So all of us this morning, we need what? The information, the explanation, the revelation, and then there'll be transformation. So let us go out, thinking of these things, about what is in Christ and what flows from Christ, and all on account of Christ.
And think about how the Lord dealt with these two, that they became transformed people in his good and gracious purposes. So let's think in Christ alone as we come to an end this morning and just focus upon our Lord Jesus together and be delighted that the facts, when explained and revelation comes, lead to everything being different. Let's stand with the music.